Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Tales from the Doghouse Separation Anxiety Explained. I am Stacey Bell in the US with Focused Fun, and with me today is...
Hello, I'm Ness Jones from Australia, from Separation Anxiety in Dogs Decoded, and this is Mr. Big, and he's helping us today, apparently.
Super helpful.
So we are continuing our Mythconceptions series, I think so.
Day. Yes, we are.
And what are we talking about today?
Today, we are talking about kind of the... there's several kind of statements. So today's misconception is about that your dog did the destroying or whatever behavior to get back at you. Or your dog feels guilty because of it, or they were being naughty. So that kind of group of myths.
Yeah, because...
So let's do some busting.
Yeah, we talked about what people say to humans, guardians, about why their dog has got separation anxiety. This is kind of focusing down at the dogs and what people say, what humans say about the dogs. And you know what, Stacey, there's nothing worse for me than looking at those online videos that you see like on social media, and this dog is like that, and you know, like,
yes,
very unhappy, very worried, and people are laughing at it because maybe the dog did something it shouldn't have done. While the owner was out, and the owner comes in and starts videoing it and talking to them in this voice, and the dog's like, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble.
Yes. And and so that's when a lot of people will say that the dog is guilty because they know that they've done something wrong. But in most cases, what we're seeing is a fear response, right? Like, so the dog is cowering. It has the whale eye where you can see the white of their eye. Their ears are back. Their lip licking. They're turning their face away.
Tail's tucked.
Tail tucked. So you have all of that quote unquote guilty look. And so I think it's more of a, you know, the dog has made this connection that when you come home and there's a mess, that you're going to be angry. And so it could be, I mean, for some people, maybe they have an explosive reaction to that. They yell, they might drag the dog by the collar outside while they clean up the mess. They, you know, it can be very, and some more sensitive dogs, you know, it might be just, you're like, oh no, that's so disappointing. Like, I know with Rowan, he's very sensitive to, you know, it could totally not concern him, but if Jim and I are having a discussion about something and we're upset about what's happening or upset with each other, I mean, neither one of us are yellers, but like if there's tension there, his coping mechanism is to go get a shoe and bring it to you. Aww. As like, kind of like but he gets very upset even if it has nothing to do with him. Yeah. So dogs are really good at making those connections. For those dogs that like you were talking about on social media, they know, you know, when my person comes home and there's a mess, there's going to be some drama happening, you know, whether that's yelling or just, you know, disappointment, maybe roughly, you know, bring the dog outside or something like that.
In it if they've soiled.
Oh, yes. That always, that hurts my heart.
I know.
Yeah. That really hurts my heart. And so Alexandra Horowitz did a study on this, actually, and about the guilty look. She's a canine cognition scientist. And she demonstrated in the study that people will see the guilt in, you know, and I'm doing quotes here, in the dog's body language when they think the dog has done something wrong, whether or not the dog actually did something wrong was irrelevant in the study. So it's just, it didn't matter whether the dog had actually done something. What mattered was that the pet parent thought the dog did something, and then they would assign that guilty look to it. So it's not like, so she talks about, it's Dr. Horowitz talks about, like, it's not that dogs don't feel guilt. It's just that in these instances, what we're talking about here is you come home and there's been destruction or maybe soiling or, you know, something like that, that the dog feels guilty upon your return. That is not guilt. That is usually fear instead. I think anyways,
we run into the danger of anthropomorphizing dogs in that respect. You know, oh, if they feel guilty. Mm-hmm. Don't really feel guilty. that's a human trait, but they do feel fear.
Yeah, they do feel fear. So I think the most important takeaway from this is, like, if you get home and your dog has destroyed, especially, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, your dog has separation anxiety, right? So your dog is at that point having a panic attack. So it's not something the dog has chosen to do. Second thing, get back at you for leaving, or even chosen to do, period. It's just like a response to that fear, right? So he panicked when you were gone, or she panicked when you were gone. So punishing them only adds to the negative emotion of that they're having surrounding being left. So, you know, punishing in that instance does no good whatsoever. So yeah, we just, you know, calmly clean up the mess and, you know, connect with one of us, and let's start planning on how to set your dog up for success on being home alone.
Yeah. In terms of soiling, I mean, I feel unless it's a puppy or it's an older dog that, you know, is having some medical issues, mm-hmm. you know, so if the dog is appropriately house trained and they soil, for me, that is a big red flag to that, how fearful that dog is.
Right.
But in terms of destroying your belongings or digging holes in the wall, which my 7-month-old Roddy did because she wasn't getting enough mental stimulation and exercise. This was years ago before I was into
dog. Before you knew.
I knew. Didn't even know separation anxiety existed. Well, she didn't have separation anxiety. She wasn't just mm-hmm. being naughty either, though. And she certainly wasn't feeling guilty for having, she wasn't trying to get back at me because I went to work and left her alone. Mm-hmm. Certainly wasn't doing that. She just had all this energy and she didn't know where to put it.
Right, right. Yeah, and so that brings up a really good point about, you know, in that respect, dogs' motives aren't like that. It's, you know, does this work for me? Does this make my life better? Or remove some kind of negative aspect from my life. It's not like this planning on world domination or getting back or getting back at you or anything like that. So the most important things to think about are, well, you know, I'm going to say you should video it, right? So particularly for destroying, we want to look at like what types of things and where they're destroying. Owner items and around doors are in windows, entry and exit point kinds of things are really common for dogs that struggle with separation anxiety. But that doesn't mean if the destruction is there, that's definitely separation anxiety, right? So you do want to video and see what's going on. But also making sure you're meeting your dog's needs.
Yeah.
So we've had several shows with surrounding enrichment and welfare. And so just making sure you're looking at those medical needs, the nutritional needs, the mental stimulation, social stimulation, physical stimulation. So like all of that, like the whole like species specific stuff, like there's so much out there to kind of look at, but not in an overwhelming way. A lot of them overlap. So you can be doing something species specific and mental at the same time, or doing that and something physical at the same time. So not to let that feel like, just because I named all those things, feel overwhelmed by them, but just knowing that there's, you know, a lot of kind of layers to look at when trying to think about, are you meeting your dog's needs?
Yeah, and actually it's funny that you bring that up, because I'm currently doing a 3-day boot camp in my Facebook group, and I'm also sending it to my YouTube channel.
Nice.
So I did, the first day was yesterday, and that was just the broader kind of overview of what separation anxiety can look like. Today we're talking about context and how we really need to know the context of what is going on. So, for example, if we're seeing the dog do a certain behavior, what else could it be apart from tomorrow? I'm doing the questions that we need to ask around, is it separation anxiety or not? So, you know, is it medical? Is it exercise enrichment?
Right.
Is it a new environment? You know, all these questions that need to be asked that drill down into whether it is separation anxiety or not. So, yeah. So if you don't hear it, if you're not in my Facebook group, you can certainly watch it on the YouTube channel, and it will still be there whenever anybody hears this. So.
And your YouTube channel is?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that, Stacey.
Thank you.
It's called Separation Anxiety in Dogs Decoded, funnily enough.
Fabulous. So we've gone through the guilty look, or, you know, whether your dog is feeling guilty when you're coming home, and the dog getting back at you. And we've kind of touched on the naughty piece a little bit, but just to kind of really make sure that we cover that one, what would your response be with, if somebody's like, is my dog just being naughty?
Oh, well, well, I mean, I should put my head on, shouldn't I? No, so personally, I've got high drive working dogs that need adequate exercise and enrichment. Now, if I left them here without ensuring that they had that, then they would probably be naughty. So one of my first questions would be, are they getting adequate exercise and enrichment? But I guess to really answer your question, they're not just being naughty. There's got to be something going on. You know, what are they missing that is creating this? So they're either not just being naughty, they've got separation anxiety and they haven't learned to be home alone, or there's something else going on, which might be that they're not getting adequate exercise and enrichment. They're being naughty.
Yeah. So
in the wake of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. So, you know, just to the destruction that you see, so whether that's tearing stuff apart or whether that's the dog doing self-harm or the dog urinating or defecating, a lot of that can be, you know, as a result of the panic, but also a way for the dog to cope. Kind of like when we're nervous, we might eat, or we might bite our nails, or we might, you know, do any other host of behaviors. Dogs will sometimes have those same things, you know, so it makes your dog feel better when they shred something, because it's kind of a release of some of that anxiety, right? So it's not that they're being bad, and it can really be, or it can be a release of frustration from not having needs met, right?
Yeah.
So it's really, instead of thinking of it as my dog is naughty or bad or getting back at me or whatever, trying to kind of reframe that for like, this is information for me that I need to do some troubleshooting. I need to look at how I'm providing for my dog. And then I also need to look at, is my dog feeling anxiety when home alone. And then look, you know, just trying to, like you said, look at the whole picture. Are there other rule outs or things contributing to what's going on with my dog? So yeah, there's a lot there, but definitely not trying to get back at you or be naughty, purposefully be naughty, or guilty for what they've done, you know. So
yeah, I think that they're getting back at you is probably the most nonsensical thing to say to somebody. Oh, they're getting back at you. I mean, dogs mm-hmm. don't think like that. They don't.
Yeah.
They love us usually unconditionally, or you know, they mm-hmm. really love us unconditionally. And yeah, they don't like to be left alone. No, of course they don't. They're social animals. They would love mm-hmm. to spend 24/7 with us, but they don't go, "Oh, mum's leaving. What can I do to get back at her for leaving?"
Their
brains aren't hardwired like that. That's a human trait, and it's certainly not a doggy trait. So if they are doing something, we need to discover why. And I think it's really important that we don't put our traits, our character traits onto dogs. They do have some things that we have, but not all. Mm-hmm. So they can feel anxiety, as we know. They can feel fear mm-hmm. and panic, but they're not trying to get back at us. They're not being naughty, and they're not. And they do, they don't feel guilty. They look like they feel guilty, but they don't actually feel guilty. They are more, as you said, it's a fear response.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is really sad. And I was why, so just circling back to where we were, that's why I get upset when I see those videos on social media. Why are you being so
another thing that we've really talked about and hit home about is like just learning canine body language. And I think that, you know, just knowing generally about what dogs look like, but most specifically what your dog looks like under different conditions. Mm. And, you know, not only when they're frightened or anxious, but also when they're happy or content or relaxed or settled, or, you know, just looking at the whole spectrum that your dog exhibits, and just being a really good observer of what their body language is. And if you're not sure, reach out to somebody that can help, because that's so, so important, mm-hmm. Especially when, you know, introducing your dog to new people, situations, contexts, you know, so that you can do it in a manner that is gentle and supportive to your dog.
Mm. Mm, yeah, absolutely. It doesn't, I mean, knowing your dog's body language is essential for separation anxiety training, but in the big wide world it is as well. Like if your dog meets another dog somewhere, and we're seeing mm-hmm. ways, and I mean, you know, we're seeing things that we don't like with their body language, then we need to mm-hmm. advocate for them.
Yeah. So if you guys have heard some other things about separation anxiety that you're not really sure if they ring true or not, make sure you reach out to Ness or I and let us know, so we can either miss bust it or let you know that, that's really a thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And where can people reach out to you, Stacey?
People can reach out to me through my website or Facebook. Facebook's at Focused on Dogs. And my website is focusedfun.net. How about you, Ness?
Oh, well, people can reach out to me at nessjones.com or on my Facebook page from group, Separation Anxiety and Dogs Decode. And yes, we both work remotely, so.
Yep. Sure thing.
Beautiful.
Thank you for joining us today, and we hope to see you next time.
Yep. See ya.
Bye.